You are listening to the ForceCom Frontline, bringing you to our soldiers on the front lines of readiness. Hey everyone, welcome to the ForceCom Frontline. I'm Ashley and I'm your host. Today we're joined by the winners of the ForceCom Best Squad competition. This team competed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky in August for the title and is now preparing for the Army level competition. And to help me with this episode, I've got our Public Affairs Sergeant Major Randy Randolph. And I asked him to join me today because you were actually on the ground at the Best Squad competition. You saw these guys in action. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for
bringing your knowledge and insight.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it.
So before we have you introduce the guests, I just want to quickly address one thing. So these are not technically ForceCom soldiers.
Right.
They belong to U.S. Army Central Command, but they competed at the ForceCom Best Squad competition. Can you just explain that relationship real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. So, during the ForceCom competition, we have some other smaller commands like U.S. ARCENT, Space Missile Defense Command, that also participate in the ForceCom and the ForceCom competition. And U.S. ARCENT won, which is great. And so although U.S. ARCENT doesn't fall under us technically, you're representing ForceCom, and we're happy to have you here and happy to have you representing us at the DA level competition.
Yeah, and to add another level to this, y'all are actually from a National Guard unit, so not actually active duty soldiers, which I think adds another unique element to your win. But why don't we go ahead and introduce them?
Yeah, absolutely. So first I want to say that it was great to be at the competition. I was very happy to be there for the entire competition from beginning to end. And I spent a lot of time talking to you guys, and really I got around and tried talking to everybody. But since I'm a former U.S. ARCENT soldier, it kind of meant something to me to get out there and talk to you. And I understand how unique it was for you guys, because you're a National Guard unit. And you're also a squad that works together on a regular basis. You were not put together just for this competition. So that was really interesting. And the funny thing is, when I first talked to Sergeant Hutchings at the icebreaker, everybody, his whole team was like stone-faced, right? They were just
kind of like they are right now.
ready to get after it. And I remember I said to Sergeant Hutchings, I said, hey, you guys are really like intense. Like, you're not playing around, huh? And Sergeant Hutchings goes, work hard, play hard, Sergeant Major. So I just thought that was really funny because it was the icebreaker. And that was the point where everybody was supposed to be kind of relaxed, but they weren't playing around. They were ready to get after it. So it didn't surprise me when they won. But the U.S. Army Central team here, the squad, is from 116th Cav Brigade combat team. And we have Staff Sergeant Joshua Hutchings, Sergeant Douglas Wood, Specialist Evan Skog. Did I get that? Skog. Did I get that right? Skog? Okay. All right. And then Specialist David Hahn and Specialist Christopher Brown. Christian Brown, sorry. And Specialist Anthony Hill. I apologize for messing up the names. But thank you for joining us today. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having us. Really grateful for this opportunity.
So I know Sergeant Major Randolph introduced y'all, but can you each tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in the Guard, around the Army, and maybe where you're from?
Hey, I'm Sergeant Woods. I'm from Boise, Idaho. I was active duty for about 6 years, and I've been in the Guard ever since. So it's 8 years in the Army. I'm 11 Bravo.
Okay.
I'm Staff Sergeant Joshua Hutchings from Boise, Idaho. I've been in the Army for 7 years now, and 11 Bravo.
I'm Specialist Evan Skog. I've been in the Army for 2.5 years. I'm from Nampa, Idaho, and I'm an 11 Bravo.
My name is Specialist David Hahn. I'm from Montana National Guard. I'm attached to Idaho for this deployment. And I'm from Missoula, Montana, and I'm 11 Bravo.
I am Specialist Christian Brown. I am from Twin Falls, Idaho. I've been in the National Guard for almost 3 years now, and I am also 11 Bravo.
My name is Specialist Anthony Hill. I am from Boise, Idaho, and I have been in the National Guard for almost 3 years now.
I love when I get to talk to squads and they're made up with soldiers who have not been in the Army that long. I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we're talking to guys who have been in the Army for 10 plus years. I mean, 2-3 years. And they're on the ForceCom Best Squad competing for the Army level competition.
Yeah, coming in relatively new and then being exposed to something like this. I mean, that's another thing that is kind of interesting about your team is some of the amount of time that the soldiers have been in the Army, but still getting after it and getting out and doing these things and mastering the fundamentals of all these tasks. So that's a testament to your entire team and your unit.
Yeah, I agree. So before we get too far into the competition here, let's start with a little icebreaker. So, you know, you guys are an actual squad. You've been together a lot. Can you talk about maybe one of the funniest things that's happened to another squad member or something funny that you've learned about each other? And I'll whoever wants to give this one a go.
I think the funniest thing that has happened with our squad was happened fairly recently. It was during the force competition during the obstacle course event, where Specialist Han was in the middle of navigating the Jacob's Ladder. And once he was near the top, we were trying to motivate him to, you know, get through it. And we could just see kind of him sweating, and he was kind of nervous, feeling the pressure. And we told him, just think like a monkey, you know, climb. And his immediate response was, I'm not a monkey, I'm a brown gorilla. I'm meant to be on the ground. And the face was just hilarious, and it kind of brought some levity to that event, and I think that was pretty hilarious.
Nice.
Yeah, and another thing, I remember Specialist Brown, I believe you crossed the finish line first for the foot march. Is that correct? You were the first soldier to cross that line?
That is correct, yes.
I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah.
What was it, 2 hours and 20-something minutes?
Yeah, and the funny thing it was very quick, and the funny thing is, when he came across, he was like a different person. I mean, he was you could see that warrior mentality, because he let out this, I think he even said third always first or something, and he just let out this like battle cry as he crosses the finish. But everybody wanted to talk to him when he was done, and the interesting thing is, the first thing he was looking for is when his team was coming in, who else from his team was coming in to finish. And I remember when he saw, I can't remember who came in second, but he was like, oh, there's so-and-so. And he ran to go greet that person and meet him and kind of bring him in. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
I mean, can we talk about this whole 2 hours and 20-something minutes? That's 12 miles. That's incredible.
Well, my motivation going into that event was actually the night before. Some of the squad were not feeling very well. It was towards the end of the competition, so we were dealing with aching knees, sore ankles, and it wasn't looking, and we knew that the competition was probably close and that this event could potentially determine the winner. And I was looking around, couldn't sleep, nervous. I was looking around kind of at our squad, and you know, we were elevating our legs, and it just looked like we were in rough shape. And I just felt like I had to give it everything I had, not really knowing that or for sure whether I was going to get first or not. I just had to get the best time that I could. And my only plan going into that event from the start was to get ahead and stay ahead for as long as I could. I kept looking back and seeing ghosts and fog and red lights that weren't even there, worrying someone could pass me. And then, like you said, as soon as I crossed the finish line, I was immediately looking for my squad. Something I'd like to mention was the first squad member other than myself to cross the finish was Specialist Scog.
Right.
And that was kind of a sight to see. He came up to, I didn't see him at first. I actually heard him barking and hollering. And
yeah, I remember that.
That was my teammate. Because no one else sounds like him when he's rucking. And I looked and I saw blood on his face, and he had this look of determination crossing the finish line, and it was one of the highlights, I think, of the entire competition. So that event was really, really rewarding, not only just for myself, but also for us as a squad.
So were you all 1 and 2?
Scog, I don't believe he was number 2.
Okay.
I think just in the middle of talking with someone,
okay.
A couple of your competitors across. He was the second one of our squad.
Got it.
Right.
Got it.
And that brings up an interesting point. You know, you talk about how kind of fatigued everybody was at that point, having gone through all those events. Walk us through a little bit on how some of you felt, because I remember, you know, everybody showing up, and obviously day one, day two, you're into it, you're motivated, but how did you motivate each other throughout? Because that was a very rigorous competition. Can you talk about that?
I'd say that the answer to that is very, very simple. Our squad is motivated by one thing, and that's humor. We just make people laugh, we keep the mood light, and we understand the situation we're in. It could always be worse.
Yeah.
And we just push forward and keep doing our thing.
I love that. So for y'all, what was the hardest part of the competition?
I would say the stress shoot was probably one of the more challenging events. I think it's pretty understandable just with that the concept of that event in general being a very intense event where your heart rate is incredibly high and you have to perform and try and slow down not just your heart rate but you know your thinking process and making sure that you're hitting your shots. It's pretty demanding event. And I think well physically that was one of the most challenging.
Yeah, watching you, go ahead, Sarah Hutchings.
I would just also add to that the rigors of going back to back to back with events. And the pace of the competition, it was challenging. It was good. We enjoyed to face that challenge. It was definitely fast paced.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I noticed is your team seemed, and there was a lot of teams out there, and you knew they were fatigued, but you know, you kind of keep pushing through it, and you don't want to show anybody that you're getting tired. That sometimes gives the competition, you know, a level up on the other teams, but how did you prepare for this specifically? Because it seemed like you just pushed through everything. I mean, viewing it from outside, it looked like you were going through it with ease. But how did you perform? How did you train to perform at all these events?
I'd have to say it's always motivating each other. We strive at every workout we do to motivate each other. Even like today during this morning workout, we were pushing everybody to their max. Seeing how well we can just push them through the event, even though how awful it can be at times.
I would also add to that that it's also a testament of not just us as a squad, but how our company, our platoon trains back with our unit, because it's just we have these you know strong NCOs that try to build these strong soldiers, and we really don't take training seriously. So we've been together for so long, and we've been training together for so long that it was just having a plethora of experience as together. In our unit that helped us to be able to be prepared because you know, we've been deployed for the last 14 months now. So it's been a lot of time to spend together. It's been a lot of missions and events and we were in Syria and just a lot of things have happened. And all of that has culminated into our preparation.
Yeah, that's right. We were talking about this, Ashley and I were talking about this the other day. You came directly into this competition being part of Task Force Spartan, which falls under, is under Operation Spartan Shield. So that's the mission you were on. Can you talk a little bit about how, you know, coming from that operation directly into this competition either hindered or helped you?
I would say that helped us because, like I was getting at, we were in Syria, running missions, working together, that built a high level of trust between the NCOs and our soldiers, and that learning how to depend on each other. And then we go from there to Kuwait to train for this best squad competition. And at that point, since we already have that level of trust built, it's just a matter of learning how each individual soldier learns. And so it's just being able to take what we have already and build on it. So
you guys have been together a lot for a long time. How do you not drive each other crazy?
Yeah.
We do.
How do you keep that unit cohesion though, even though you've been together so long?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you stay? I mean, I guess you don't have a choice. You have to work with each other, but how do you keep going?
Well, I guess it shows maturity in every soldier. You know, we do quick little jabs at each other, little jokes, kind of have to mature pride a little bit. But at the end of the day, we all have the maturity to be able to get past that. Just know, oh, it's just a joke. It's funny. And then they'll get back to you. So.
Yeah.
And the jokes aren't When we joke around with each other, it's not an account of productive or hurtful way at all.
Sure.
And it's something that needs to seriously be taken care of. We all have the emotional intelligence to handle any sort of sensitive situation, like a soldier struggling with something. We all have that emotional intelligence to recognize that, oh, the soldier needs me, whether it's up here or me, myself, or Sergeant Woods as the NCO. We recognize, like, hey, the soldier right now doesn't need us to kind of buddy-buddy rub elbows with him. This soldier right now needs somebody to listen to them. And so it's being able to balance and recognize when is the soldier there, when is it that good time to joke around, have fun, when is it that time when you need to really listen to that soldier and understand their needs.
Yeah, yeah. It's like family. Go ahead.
I also think that it's because we all understand that these competitions are kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity our careers, and so even when we might get sick of each other or tired every now and again, we know that this isn't going to happen again, so we're totally bought into giving it our all, and we try not to let those negative emotions affect how we perform in our training or how we compete.
I think that's interesting, because like I was saying, you operate kind of as a family. That's how a family operates, right? You got to know kind of where everybody's at mentally, you know, when to push, when not to push. And so I think that's great. And I think that's really what each squad and each team is, right? We spend sometimes more time with our teams,
yeah,
than we do our families. So
yeah,
that's kind of an over-encompassing, you know, attitude we have to have.
I mean, I think you have to be able to have fun, even in the hardest of times, to get through things. I mean, even in our headquarters office, I feel like we joke around quite a bit, and some days that's what you have to do to get through it.
Right, and some days it gets people angry. But so everything that you prepared for up to that point when you were at the ForceCon Best Squad competition, obviously, you know, you had to prepare for that. What are some of the things that you learned from that competition that you're going to take forward to the Army competition, and how are you approaching this next level?
I would say the biggest thing that we learned is just how to work together. It's something that's something that you don't just learn one time. Sure. That's something that's continuous, because as we've been together for so long, we feel like we know each other so well, but even then we're still all changing and getting better and growing. And because of that, we also have to grow together as a team.
Right.
We can't just stay at one level. So a lot of it is when we did the ForceCom competition, we saw how we were handling specific events and how we reacted to that. And now we're being able to identify the weaknesses that the team has, so then it changes the way that we're preparing. So we're focusing really hard on identifying what we could have done better in the previous competition to try and plus that up, so we can hopefully make that a strength by the time we get to the Army competition.
Hmm. Yeah, that's definitely insightful. And talking about overall, philosophically, mentally, the approach with the team, but what about tactically and specifically some of the things that you prepared for and now you're preparing for Army? Is there any change in that?
Yeah, I would say, well, right now we're focusing on trying to get better at shooting machine guns. We want to learn that. We could have done better on the ForceCom level competition. So that's one thing we're trying to work on there. And I would also say increase our knowledge base, so that way we're ready for the board coming up.
Mm, okay.
So switching gears just a little bit, this is only the second year that the Army has done the Best Squad competition.
Right.
So I guess my question is, why do you think it's important that the Army is focusing on squads rather than just the individual soldier?
Yeah.
I think that if anyone wants to take this one.
Yeah, that's good.
I would say that it's for the individual level, like the NCO Soldier of the Year, it's usually pretty easy because it's just the individual person themselves. So what's their knowledge base, how physically active they are, if they can get it done. But when you're breaking it down to a team, this is a team of guys that you all have to get at the same level. So everyone's got to be as physically fit as, you know, the highest physical fit guy you have. Great marksman all the way up to the top. So everyone, you have to get this entire team, break them down, and make them just as good as you.
Sure.
That's a lot harder than just yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've got to trust the guy next to you.
Yeah.
I
thing I'd like to add on that, I think the Army isn't about individuals per se. It's about a collective group of team squads and up. And I think when you have something like the best squad competition, it really shows the importance of building a cohesive squad and how much that plays into performance. And with strong squads, they are what make up our armies, and our armies are what wins our nation's wars. And if you can't have strong squads, then it's of course it's not looking good.
Well, and to go back to something one of you said earlier is, you know, when something's going on with the other another person in your squad, like you can you know to reach out if somebody's, you know, not saying much, not joking as much. You have an insight to knowing, well, maybe something's wrong. Maybe I should reach out and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Because it's not just about the how do we perform in our jobs. When you're a soldier, you are surrounded by your family in a way. So if you know, Special Scott is going through something, I want to make sure that his life, both at work but also at home, is taken care of. And if there's anything that we can do as his squad or any resource we can get him that needs him to help, we just use him as an example. But if there's any resources available to help him in his personal life as well, we want to make sure that we're there for him. We want to make sure that we're there. And that, I think it's a huge part of changing that from being an individually based event to a squad based, team based.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and to add to that, you guys aren't home. Right. You're not in Idaho, so I think you've really got to rely on each other.
Yeah,
I think one more thing to add on to that is definitely with the individual, you're only having one person bring back the knowledge you get from these competitions. I mean, every level, I mean, all the way back from the R71, I think every single squad that competed was able to bring something back to their unit. And I think with us having all the experience that we have right now, I mean, I can't imagine all that we're going to be able to share with our fellow soldiers, and especially for us younger guys, junior enlisted, moving forward as NCOs, the amount that we've been exposed to, we can actually share and provide a great knowledge base to all of the ones that we work with. So instead of just one person going up and coming back and trying to share, I mean, it's multiplied. So this has been an important moment, especially with the amount of assets and resources that are putting into this. It should pay back with tenfold with the amount of people that are going to then share the knowledge that we get.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. Really, what all of you just said, because you talk about the squad and how important that is at that level, right? It's a team, and really, that's from top down. And Ashley kind of mentioned it earlier. Even our team here, right? We're a squad. So when you consider this is my squad, right? You obviously see each other as a squad, as a team, as a family, and I think that relates to every team across the Army, right? Whether we have DA civilians, you know, soldiers, family members, that's part of the squad. So it's great that you encompass that mentality, especially considering you really are a squad, right? You really do work together on a daily basis. And if you're called upon, which you recently were for Task Force Spartan, you know you can rely on one another to go into combat or, you know, any type of situation and take care of one another. So that's great. I think that's a great mentality to have. And I think it's, quite honestly, the mentality we should have across the Army.
Yeah.
And that's what we should incorporate into our teams.
Yeah. So we're going to move on a little. So I know you guys don't know what's going to happen at the Army competition, but is there anything you hope you don't encounter?
I know Han really doesn't want to do the Jacob's Ladder again. But I would say us as a squad, the mentality that we work for and just the great level of training that RSENT has been able to help us conduct with the amazing resources that they provided for us. They've been phenomenal. I cannot thank them enough for everything they've done. It has genuinely made us all feel very prepared for this next competition. Like, we don't know what's going to happen, but we feel like we're at a point where we kind of look at the competition, we say, bring it on. We can...
It's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's great.
So how does it feel to represent RSENT?
Humbling.
I mean, again, going back to, you guys are National Guard soldiers. You competed against, you know, nine other teams and came out on top. How does that make you feel about your skill level and what you've been able to accomplish?
That's really good. The other teams put up a really good fight. They helped develop us even further throughout the competition.
Yeah.
I think they helped prepare us for the next competition.
Yeah, I would add to that, when we were doing the icebreaker event and we walked into the 101st Division headquarters, I think it was, and we looked over at this picture of the NCO of the year, and I'm like, that guy looks familiar. And the Soldier of the Year, I'm like, that guy looks familiar. Turn around, it's the other team, and I was like, all right, these guys. These guys are not joking around. They're ready to rock and roll. And it was stiff competition. So it was really, it was really, really good for us to be able to compete with somebody that was, we thought, you know, we're neck and neck the whole time.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, you had the second place NCO of the year and first place Soldier of the year. Is that correct? Yeah, there we go. Okay. Hey, what did you think of that?
Well, it was different. I wasn't expecting it. I ended up having to step in for Specialist Hill for this competition because he suffered a knee injury, and I had some really big shoes to fill, and I just did my best. And when they called up my name, I was shocked. I wasn't expecting to be recognized for doing that well.
And you said you've been in the Army 2 years?
2.5 years.
That's pretty incredible.
It is. It is. And what's interesting to me is everything, you know, 2 years in the Army, we talked about this a little bit before, how you gelled together as a team. But how did some of these skills that you encountered as a team, or had to, some of the obstacles you had to get over as a team, how are you going to bring that back when you're training with your squad for actual combat operations? Is there anything you learned that you're going to incorporate more or less into your formation?
I'll say what we learned is how important it is to build a very cohesive team. I know the Army's been talking about that a lot lately. And I will say myself, I've not really seen that much in the Army right now. But seeing how well we can do as building this cohesive team, which makes us different than any of the other teams right now, we were able to outperform them. So that shows me that, well, this needs to be an Army-wide thing. Everyone needs to build these cohesive squads.
I think I'd like to mention that being so new to the Army, you do hear that a lot, and not to beat a dead horse, but the importance of having and building a cohesive squad is something I hear a lot my first year in the Army, I'd say. But I think these competitions really demonstrate why that is and how important it actually is, because we weren't necessarily the most fit or per se the best shots, but we were we worked the best together. We worked well off of each other, balancing each other out, working on our strengths and making up for it in each other's weaknesses, knowing how to properly get the most and maximize our training during these train-ups for these competitions, knowing what individual really needs to work on and how they respond to the best and how to go about mentoring them. Yeah.
And I mean, to add on to that, culture is a big word that comes up to me.
Yeah.
I just feel like us being such a cohesive team and working so hard together for all these months has really showed what kind of culture we want to bring back to Idaho, to Charlie Company, or wherever we might end up in our Army careers.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Absolutely.
And speaking of work, y'all have been down in South Carolina preparing, getting ready for the Army competition. It cooled down here a little in North Carolina. How about there in South Carolina?
Still hot.
It was like 65 degrees this morning. I was like, ooh, it's kind of chilly.
Yeah. It felt like a fall morning.
It did.
Finally.
It did. I was like, I need a little jacket after 110 degrees.
Yeah.
So did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No. I think this is great. I appreciate being a part of this. Thank you, Ashley.
Yeah.
And hey, great work out there. Like I said, you know, all the teams did an excellent job, but I'll tell you, your story is interesting, right? It's it is different. It is unique. Mm-hmm. Being from a National Guard unit representing USRSCENT and representing Forescom. And so we're happy to have you represent Forescom mm-hmm. at the Department of the Army competition. So thanks, and I wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, and so, like I said, I know you guys are busy training and whatnot, but is there anything that we haven't covered, anything you just want to talk about real quick before I let you go?
I'd like to give a shout-out to the team behind the team, to our families for being so supportive and allowing us to do this, and also the staff here at RSCENT, making sure that we have everything that we need to get the most out of our training. I think without them, we wouldn't be nearly as successful as we have been. And I think that they definitely deserve a lot of the credit.
That's awesome. Well, again, thank you for taking the time out of your training to sit down and talk with us. This was a great conversation. We wish you the best. Good luck. And then for anybody listening, the Army's Best Squad competition runs from September 24th to October 6th. And we'll have highlights from throughout the competition on all of our Forescom social media accounts. And good luck to our RSCENT team who's representing Forescom.
Thank you.
Take care, team.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can also find full video episodes of our podcast on YouTube. You can just search for the Forescom Frontline. And we'll see you next time on the Frontline.